This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. If you were stranded on a desert island, Lisa M. Rose is the kind of person you'd want beside you. Forget gardens. Rose goes into the wild to stock her pantry. Her first book was Grand Rapids Food, A Culinary Revolution, but her most recent book is Midwest Foraging, 115 Wild and Flavorful Edibles from Burdock to Wild Peach. I asked Rose how she began foraging.
You know, I didn't really intend on being a quote-unquote forager. Rather, foraging and wild plants has been, you know, really a part of my entire life. I grew up just a few miles from the Big Lake, and I had a family that, you know, we were outside all four seasons. And getting outside, my mom kept a garden, so I had a garden in my life. She canned and preserved what we got out of the garden and farmers markets. But we also had wild Concord grapes. I knew where the wild apples were. You know, my first pie in college, my college apartment was mulberry pie. And so I've just, as memories come back to me from my childhood, I've always had a really close relationship to the land around me. I didn't think much about food. Actually, growing up, I always wanted to be a music education major in college, and I wanted to go and professionally be a music teacher, a band director. Music has always been a really big thing in my life. When I got, and I actually ended up at Grand Valley studying music, but switched to anthropology at my dad's recommendation. And that's where I really started studying agriculture, the rise of agriculture in the Neolithic, actually was my interest and focus. And I just started studying food and really focused on all of the different components of food and how it pertains to humans. So the economics, the political, the social constructs we have around food. And every subsequent job, I lived out in Napa Valley. I studied in, you know, Nice in France, worked up north on a salad farm in Leelanau County, started a nonprofit to teach kids about vegetables with school gardens because of my experiences in California volunteering at the Edible Schoolyard. So I've really gathered my background around food systems and food just from a really, really diverse and delicious background and journey.
So in your world, Lisa, is there such a thing as a weed or everything has a purpose?
You know, I think actually, I believe everything has a purpose in nature. I believe the natural world is really complex and the systems are built with checks and balances and really fascinating just design. So, you know, weeds as a gardener, I'm fascinated by the concept of gardening because we like this sense that we can control life, we can control nature, and gardening gives us that sense of control. We can weed, we can keep things in order. Mm-hmm. So there is some very interesting contrast between the wild world and the cultivated. But that said, you know, I'm at a place now where I don't have a vegetable garden, you know, at my current home. So my wild gardens are along my running route. They're along, you know, the hedgerow that's in the back of my home. They're in these spaces where, you know, I've had to really come to terms with embracing not having these formal places where I can grow, but instead find solace and peace with all of the wild plants. And it's fun because the running routes, I know the names of all the plants. And those are the plants that would be deemed as invasive or weedy by, mm-hmm. you know, parks management staff. And to me, they're just as beautiful as the formal echinacea beds or the rhododendrons or things that you might find in one's more cultivated spaces.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with Lisa Rose. I ask her how to stay safe when choosing which wild plants to eat.
So safety is always a concern when you're foraging or gathering plants for your own dinner table. And for me, I get people to think about the history of the use of the land. And part of it is, as you go about learning from what's outside your doorstep, absolutely is the most sensible thing for a couple of reasons. One, you know, if you're planning on going out into the backcountry, you need to do your due diligence first and actually learn the plants outside your own doorstep before you go to another place and harvest plants. But it also gives you a good starting point to be able to do the research, to start to map out your immediate neighborhood. What is in your neighborhood? How has your neighborhood been used? As a community gardener, you most likely would soil test before you plant a garden. As a forager, you might not be soil testing for things like lead and contaminants. So having a sense of history of use is always an important thing to do. The second component to that is knowing what types of plants take up heavy metals or minerals. So your plants like, I'll use spinach, it's not, you know, a wild cultivar, but spinach takes up iron. As a gardener, planting spinach in an area that's heavy in lead, the lead can be taken up into that plant. And then subsequently you'd eat that plant.
Yeah.
The same can happen with really mineral-dense wild edibles like dock, nettle, plants that you're eating because they have a high mineral content, which we absolutely need. We need more plants in our diet with high minerals because of the way we're raising food industrially in industrial agriculture. But we can't be getting those plants in areas where we believe there may be heavy metal contamination in the plant parts. So knowing your plants, knowing how contaminants take place in the plants, that's an important other half to know.
So if you were lost on an island, you would never starve, would you, Lisa?
That's one of the things that no one will ever be able to take from me. I will always be able to make it out, God willing, alive and definitely not hungry.
So what's the best way to start for a complete novice? What's your advice?
You know, I do recommend getting outside. You can't be a forager or gather wild plants without really getting outside and becoming comfortable with nature. And that sounds like a pretty simple thing, but a lot of us have lost that regular sense of getting outside on a regular basis. So just like a gardener would know the seasons of plants, watching the stages of growth of plants is important. Finding out, you know, that the dandelion leaves taste better when it's cooler in the early morning, under the early morning light and in the early dew, than in the middle of the day, in the middle of the summer, when the leaves become bitter, coarse, and hairy, and quite frankly, to small children, unpalatable. Mm. And we want to get our kids to like those greens, right?
Right.
So, you know, you start positively IDing plants is an absolute must. Going to the library, start reading botanical ID guides. There's never just one that can fit the bill. So I'm like a closet, actually not so closet, ID collector, botanical guide collector. So over time, you might find your world taking over with books, and then, you know, you'll start drawing plants from your rafters and your family will wonder what happened to you. So it'll all snowball by getting outside.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Lisa M. Rose, the author of Midwest Foraging, 115 Wild and Flavorful Edibles, From Burdock to Wild Peach. Visit WMUK.org to hear our complete interview. And join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.